As I begin to think about what I was going to share today, God had me think about our vision of representing God to the lost and found for one reason. What is it? Transformation in Christ. God wants everybody's life to be transformed. But the thing that has to happen is we have to be aware of what God wants to do in our lives. And as I begin to pray, I came out to this field earlier this week, and I walked this entire thing where you're sitting, and I begin to pray, God, what do you want to share with your people? And the only thing God said is, go study Juneteenth. And I went and I looked up all the videos, and I read books, and I begin to look at the story of a people group that, because of their color of skin, was put under a label of slaves. And we know the story that's been rehearsed many times, but just in case you don't, the reason why we celebrate Juneteenth is because the Emancipation Proclamation happened in 1863, where slaves were freed on paper. But the news did not reach Texas until 2.5 years later, on June 19th, yesterday, 1865. And God began to speak to me, y'all. He said, Michael, the worst thing in the world is to be free and be bound. The worst thing, I want you to think about it, is to actually be free, but not experience that freedom and be bound. Those people were, this is a new word I just made up, freebound. And the crazy thing about it is we think about it in 1865, where joy began to come up because for 2.5 years, people were free and bound. But the crazy thing is that there are thousands of people under the sound of my voice right now who still are experiencing this same dichotomy of being freebound. Oh, I'm gonna get in your business today. See, the thing that people have to understand is most of us have the opportunity to be financially free and produce wealth, but we're bound by a poverty mentality. Free bound. I'm coming for you. Some of you relationally have the opportunity to be free to move on from that joker, but you're bound by the cycles y'all keep getting in every Saturday night. Call me. And you're free to do something else, but you're bound. Some of us, even in this room right now, are emotionally free to forgive that person, but we're bound by bitterness. Free bound. Everybody say free bound. Free bound. Some of us right now are experiencing what we've been talking about at Transformation Church. This idea of being free and bound is a paradox. And many of us wake up free bound, go to sleep free bound, talk to our neighbors free bound, do the business free bound. And the worst place to be free and to be bound is spiritually. And many of us are free to live in our purpose, but bound by a place of devastation. And today I want to talk, and hopefully by the grace of God, help somebody who has been living free bound. And some of y'all so tight right now, and some of y'all necks is just tightening up, and some of y'all booties clenching right now, because if we came to your situation and talked about how you want to advocate for these people, but you're mad at those people, you're free bound. How you can speak love to a group of people that you like, but speak hate to a group of people that you don't know, free bound. God says in his word, whom the Son sets is free indeed. And today, I want to address the root of being free bound, which is devastation. Anytime there's something traumatic that happens in our life, we mark that place. And there is a certain level of devastation that tries to keep us bound. And when I look at the land that we are on right now, this is a place of devastation. Black Wall Street was the most affluent the most self-sufficient, the most rich area in the U.S. at one period of time that because of racial injustices was burned to the ground and there was nothing ever done about it. A place of devastation. Where you sit, where you stand, they're still finding bodies. This is a place of devastation. Y'all saying, Pastor Mike, I didn't come for all of this. I didn't come for you to tell me. I'm taking you somewhere, but I need you to understand that 100 years ago, this area was devastated. This is the community I live in. This is the community our church was birthed out of. And it was, everybody say, devastated. But I need to help you. Because devastation is not foreign to God. And devastation is all through the Bible. I want you to think about it. What was that moment of devastation for Abraham when he waited 25 years for a promise of a son? And then God said to him, take that same boy and put him on an altar and sacrifice him. A place of devastation. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they did what God said, when they obeyed him and they didn't bow, then they ended up in a furnace. A place of devastation. Think about Daniel himself when King Darius made a decree that everybody should not pray to any other god. And Daniel was kind of like me and said, hey, I don't care what you're talking about. I got to serve my God. And they threw him into the lion's den. I bet when he was sitting down there as Meow Mix, he said, this is a place of devastation. And all I'm asking you is, I know you post the highlights on Instagram, and I know you act like everything's good in your marriage, and I know you act like all your kids do exactly what you say when you tell them to do it, and I know you act like high school is a breeze. But all of us, underneath the surface, have a place of devastation. And if I had enough time to talk to each of you, it would come up. Your anger is an indication that there's somewhere you were devastated. Your frustration is an indicator. And what I came to tell you is that your devastation is never a destination. God never meant for you to stay at the place of devastation. And the enemy would love for us as a city, for us as a group of people, to camp out at the place of devastation. Camp out at the hate. Camp out at the hurt. Sit in the unforgiveness. Sit in the pain. Sit in the loss. Sit in the regret. Stay in the shame and fear. And camp out in the anxiety and anger. Stay the victim. And what the Holy Spirit said to me is, Michael, show the people a picture of what the enemy would love to do in their life for the next decade. Sit. You know what? They did do me wrong. And it feels good. I'm not gonna change. Have them come tell me why they did it and how they did it. And they camp out in the place of devastation. Until you do something, I'm right here. I'm mad. I'm pissed. I ain't moving. I ain't working with you. There ain't nothing. I'm going to stay at the place. And what ends up happening is because you've decided to stay at the place that last person left you. You stayed at the place where your child was diagnosed with autism. Oh, that's my personal story. See, I had a decision to stay in devastation. And you know what? The enemy almost had me. He had me so much that I said, if I'm going to sit in this devastation, if I'm going to sit in this place, I might as well get comfortable. And you know what? I'm not just going to sit in a chair. Hold on. No. This is too big. I need somebody to come help me. And what we try to do is bring people to help us make our devastation comfortable. Yeah, no, y'all, my ride or dies. Come on, I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to stay mad. I'm going to stay frustrated. I'm not going to help be a part of the solution. Yeah. And the enemy the whole time is telling you, I got, I got, I got snacks for you in your devastation. Yeah. Yeah, be comfortable in your devastation. Tell people that it's okay to stay at the place of offense. I need a pillow. Can I get some water? Please serve me in the place of devastation. All men are dogs. No, he hurts you. Uh-oh, let me stop. But he wants you to camp out in the place of devastation. I ain't never going to church again. No, that church was toxic. Let me stop. No. I don't want to actually touch it. Will you please give it to me? See, we want to be served in the place of devil. I'm talking to somebody. Off with you. This is what all of us look like in some area of our lives. Well, because my mom hurt me and my dad wasn't there. That was devastating, but that is not your destination. I'm gonna say it one more time. It was devastating that they didn't pick you for the job. It was devastating that they looked over you and abused you. It was devastating that they left you at the altar. It was devastating that they didn't see your potential. But your devastation is never your destination. Somebody give God some praise. And when I think about the monstrosity of what happened on this land, for 100 years, we have been camped out at devastation. Born and raised in this city, and I've seen minimal to little change in this area of reconciliation, reparation, any of it, in my entire time of living. And I said, God, what do we do? He said, the first thing you decide is this no longer is a place where we stay. I ain't staying here. Somebody say it. I ain't staying. I know it's wrong. She was like, Susan, that is Ebonics. I want you to say it out loud. I ain't staying. And some of y'all need to go back to your apartment and look at that place of all the devastation. And you need to say, I'm here right now, but I ain't staying here. Some of you need to go back to that job that you're going to have to clock in tomorrow. Somebody got me on this side. And you need to say, I know that y'all have not realized who God has in your mix, but I promise you, I ain't staying here. As a church, I made a decision. As we begin to move in unity and reconciliation and doors were shut in our face, God said, this is not the destination. Decide, I ain't staying here. And I came to encourage you, wherever you are in your life, whatever your situation is, do not stay at the place of devastation. Why, Pastor Mike? Write this point down. Because devastation is always an invitation. Anytime there's a moment of devastation, you are invited into another layer of living. Even if everything was taken from you, you have a choice. You can either take the lane of despair or take the lane of destiny. You can either take the lane of hate or you can take the lane of hope. Either you can take the lane of staying and grieving or you can take the lane of greatness. You can either be bitter or get better. You can either become indifferent or make impact. You can either choose anger or ask God for a fresh anointing. You can either take failure or you can make sure that you live in faith. And the enemy would love for you to stay right here. But somebody say, I ain't staying here. So how do I not stay at the place that felt final? See, the enemy would love for you to put a period or an exclamation mark on a sentence that's not finished yet. And the place of devastation is always followed in the word of God by a comma. Let me take you to English class. And I know how many people in this room liked English class when you were in school. Okay, 2 people. That's fine. I didn't like it. I failed it twice. Okay, listen. But there was one thing I learned about punctuations. Is whenever there was a comma, that means there was more to come. And every person, when you find yourself in a place of devastation, know that God always puts a comma after the devastation. Let me help you. When the children of Israel were bound in Egypt and they were slaves, God said, comma, and he sent Moses. When the entire country was being tormented by Philistine army, Goliath and his homeboys, God put a comma and sent David. At this moment, as we're still 100 years where blood, innocent blood spilt out in this area, I just feel by the Spirit that God has put a comma. And today, he's about to begin to write a new sentence. Y'all didn't get it. I said, today God's going to write by faith the rest of the sentence. So let me tell you, for your life and where you are right now, don't put a period where God put a comma. Some of y'all didn't get accepted into the school you thought you were going to get into. Don't put a period there. That was redirection for what God wants to do in your life. Don't put a period where God put a comma. And I begin to think about this moment that we stand in and the moment that you stand in your life. And God said, Michael, tell the people wherever they're devastated. Can we be hot, humble, open, and transparent real quick? Is there an area in your life, if there is, that there is devastation, childhood trauma, frustration, something that happened recently? Would you lift your hands all over? Oh, that's everybody. At home, just lift your hand. Okay. The Lord told me, and I want you to write this down. Don't leave the devastation without a revelation. See, revelation, all it means is revealed truth. And God said, out of every devastation, there's something that I'm trying to reveal to you that will change your destiny forever. And what we have to understand is today, as we are out here, we have to find the revelation that God wants to give us after 100 years of devastation. What do you do after you're devastated? Most of us get a half gallon of cookies and cream ice cream, Bluebell. Oh, is that just me? Y'all fake. And we Netflix and chill. And we try to drown out the devastation with distraction. But the thing about our devastation is it always comes back if it's not healed. Devastation never changes by distraction. That was worth you coming today, because some of y'all are so convinced that another trip will help you. And if I move to New York or LA, it'll help me. Or if I get a boo, baby, those are all distractions. God wants to heal the devastation, so we need a revelation. And how do you get a revelation? You pray to God for a revelation. Look what the Bible says. Oh, I love God. In 2 Corinthians 7:14, if my people who are called by my name would do two very hard things for people in 2021, humble themselves and pray. Seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. And this is what we need. You'll heal our land. See, the revelation we need only can come from God. And the reason why revelation or revealed truth is so important is because revelation, write this down, is the starting place of transformation. If you want to see your life be transformed, you need a revelation from God. Can I tell you that today, as we stand here, the only reason I am here today is because a revelation that one man got. Our founding pastor, standing right here on Greenwood and Archer, as a white man who came to this city to go to college, began to hear about the horrors that happened here and nobody had talked about it. And God woke him up and used his wife to give him a revelation. That one revelation changed the trajectory of his entire life. But not just his life, a revelation from God to one person can change the destiny of another person. When he stood on that corner and God told him, make a church and actually put in the name Greenwood to honor the survivors and the victims and the monstrosity. As a white man in 1999 coming to do that, that is a big no-no. You gonna do what? You gonna help? And he stood in the face of adversity and raised up a people to start transforming the city and the community because he had a revelation that would lead to transformation. And today, I have to take this moment and I have to honor, is he here, Bishop? Come here. Can we honor God for the man of God who had a rev? Y'all got to do better than that. Bishop, I love you. And I honor you. Oh yeah, we can do better than that, Tulsa. The reason that I brought him up here is not for fanfare. It's to let you know that in obscurity, when nobody believes in you, a revelation from God can literally and spiritually lead to transformation. And today, Bishop, in front of everybody, we honor you, sir. Can we give God praise for Bishop? Okay, sit down. I got a little more. What I'm asking you to do is pray to God for a revelation so that it can start transformation in your life. When Transformation Church started, I asked God, what would make us different than any other church? He said, you're actually going to show people who I am and not care what anybody else thinks. And I said, God, that seems kind of bold. And he said, I need somebody that will not be limited by the devastation that happened, that will get and pray for a revelation, that will start on the process of transformation, and will be relentless until we see restoration. Somebody shout at me, restoration. I'm telling you, and I prophesy, that the days of Tulsa being a beacon of life and a place of transformation are not over. The devastation, I feel this thing right now. The devastation that was rained upon this area is now about to be the biggest platform for God to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. You'll watch this back and you'll see what I'm saying. This is a season of restoration. When I begin, everybody just shout at me, restoration. Restoration. See, you don't even believe it. Say it with your chest. Say restoration. Restoration. That is God's plan from the very beginning for all of us to live restored, better than before, brand new. Some of y'all have old school cars. My uncle redoes old school cars. And one of the things I found out about people who restore cars is that they are meticulous to make sure that when they put back together something that had been destroyed in a different season, that there are little tweaks and little adds that they make so that it is better than before. And God told me to tell you that this is a season of restoration. That every relationship that you thought you lost, he gonna give you ones that are better than before. Every job, every opportunity you thought was over, God says, I am not limited by them. I'm gonna do it better than before. Somebody's getting it with faith. God told me to tell you out here on the lawn and in your house that it's gonna be better than before. Somebody say better. Better. That's called restoration. But what I found out, write this point down, is we serve a God of reparations. Uh-oh. Buzzword. Word that don't nobody wanna say. Now I'm gonna give you the revelation. This is what I did all of this for, to get you right here. That reparation is not a political word. Reparation is not a word that your left-wing friends or your white-wing friends have coined. let me give you the definition of reparations. Thank you, Lord. The action of repairing something that was devastated. Reparations means that somebody is going to take up the mantle and actually put into action the process of repairing something that was destroyed. Can I give you Bible for it? Joel 2:25. And I will restore to you the years. Y'all gonna make me preach. That the locust has eaten. And the canker worm has stolen. I feel this. And the caterpillar and the palmer worm. My great army which I sit among you. I will restore. The problem is, we didn't read the first few words. And I will. Who's the I? God. And God will restore. He said, I, God, not government.
Uh-oh.
I, God, not your group. I, God, not your gang, not your affiliation, not people with good intentions. Somebody shout, God. God is a God of reparations. And this is the revelation God gave me. He said, Michael, change starts in the church. That if we're actually going to see a move of God of restoration, it's not coming from government and legislation. The change starts in the church. And somebody say, I'm the church. See, you thought I was talking about the organization. I'm talking about the organism. Somebody say, I'm the church. And if God is the God of reparations and restoration, and I'm God's, and I'm one of God's people, then I am responsible for being a part of restoring what has been torn down. Okay, I'm going somewhere. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, and all this is from God. Who? God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, and watch this, this is big words, and gave us, somebody say us, the ministry of reconciliation. I'm mad, but I gotta restore it. I'm frustrated, but I gotta put my hand to the plow. You broke it, but now I gotta fix it. And the problem is, we have been looking for somebody to restore what they do not have the anointing to restore. This was not their job. It's our job. Somebody say our job. And I know this message with your theology and that rant you did on Facebook yesterday, but I'm coming to give you the word of God. Reparations is not coming from them. But what if there was a church that would rise up and unify and stand toe to toe with every demonic spirit of division, with every lie of devastation, with the thing that tried to tell us we need to sit in that, and we say, as for me and my house, I'm not talking for nobody else's church, but for Transformation Church, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I begin to ask God, how are we going to serve you? He said, I need you to understand this. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19 of 2 Corinthians 5, it says, that is in Christ, God was reconciling the entire world to himself, not counting their sin against them. And entrusting to us, somebody say us, the message of reconciliation. I said, God, how does our little church make an impact on such a big problem? How do we actually start reparations right here on this ground? And God said, understand this revelation, and I need everybody to hear this because you can take this for your personal life. This rocked my world. God said, the hand that usually tears it down is rarely the hand that builds it back up. You don't go to the place of offense to get confidence. You don't go back to those people who broke you down and say, please build me back up. I'm talking too big for y'all right now. God says that when the wall was torn down and Nehemiah had to build it back up, he didn't tear down the wall, but he was given the mandate to rebuild the wall. So today, I want to, on behalf of Transformation Church and Transformation Nation, I want to start reparations right here. Today, God has spoken specifically to our staff and our team that if we're going to see restoration, it's time for some reparations. It's time for somebody to get into action and start rebuilding what we didn't tear down, but what we've been called by God to put back together. And yes, it would be amazing for government and school systems and everybody to get on board. But if they never do, will we stay at the place of devastation? Or will we say, if God be for us? Y'all didn't come to praise God. I said, if God be for us. Somebody say, who? No, say it like you mean it. Say, who? Who can be against us? So I got together with my team and I said, what could Transformation Church do to be a seed to the reparations that needs to come to this community, to this city, to this state, to this nation, and to the survivors? And so we picked about 8 organizations that today they don't even got no idea. They just thought I was gonna bring them up here. But today, reparations begins. I want to bring out the Crutchers. Would you come here, please, Dr. Tiffany Crutcher? Some of you may not know this, but her brother was brutally murdered a few miles from here. And since then, this educated black woman has devoted her entire life to justice and peace. This won't bring her brother back. But for us, we want to help you continue to do the work that God has called you to do. And so today, on the behalf of Transformation Church, we have a check with no strings attached for $50,000 to tell you to keep doing what God, I dare y'all to begin to praise God. Reparation season is here. And it's time for restoration. Will somebody give God some praise? But somebody say, but we not done. Then I said, who else is doing something as a nonprofit in the city of Tulsa? They may never recognize us as a government, but I bet you the church is about to stand up. And I heard about this organization called Build in Tulsa, helping build and equip young black entrepreneurs. The reason why this is important is because people's children and grandchildren in this area would have had legacies and inheritances if the Wall Street massacre wouldn't have happened. And so today, this group has decided, with the community representation of Brother Charles Wilkes, I love you, bro, to continue to do what you're doing and raise up more black young men. You got $50,000 to be able to continue to do. Y'all better help me rejoice. It's reparation season. We're building back up what the enemy said he was gonna tear down. But we're not done yet. See, what happened here did not just affect Tulsa. If you study out massacres, there's over 30 that happened all over the U.S. that were not taught about in schools. But I found this organization in Atlanta called One Race. led by Josh Clemens. You heard him pray earlier. And Keisha Clemens. And today, bro, so y'all can continue to do the work in Atlanta, not just in Tulsa. We wanted to present a $100,000 check. I dare y'all, it's reparation season. You won't do it, but the church will. We want you to go back to Atlanta, and we want you to raise up more people, and we want you to get people understanding their value and their worth. And we want you to introduce them to Jesus. And we want you to let them know that the devastation is not a destination. Somebody give God a shout of praise.
I love y'all.
But we're not done yet. In this city, our founding pastor tells me the story of when they were young, they brought all of the survivors of the massacre, and there were 13 alive at that time, and one of them became a church member of Greenwood Christian Center. His name was Dad Clark. And Dad Clark used to tell stories of this entire area. And one thing he would always talk about is how proud he was when they built the Greenwood Cultural Center. And in our community, that's been a mainstay for many years. And today, I want to bring up such a beautiful, wonderful, don't she look good? You out here looking good. Dr. Wimberly. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for keeping legacy alive. Thank you for remembering people who people tried to make us forget. Thank you for hosting events and giving prices that people could actually afford and being able to be somebody that's a beacon of light in this community. And on behalf of God, Transformation Church, and Transformation Nation, we want to present you with a $100,000 check. Y'all better not get tired of praising. It's reparation season. We love you, and we believe in you. Come on, somebody give God some praise right now. But we ain't done yet. I've lived in this community for 8 years. Live right up the street. And one of the most devastating things is that if I want a fresh apple or a fresh banana, I had to drive 5 miles away to get to a grocery store with fresh produce. And in the 100th year of over 30 grocery stores being burned to the ground, God has raised up an oasis in the middle of Tulsa. And my brother AJ and my brother Joe, they went in, our first majority black owned business. These are minorities right here. Oh, y'all can do that. You can do better than that. They said, we're gonna put our resources together and create an oasis in the middle of a desert. That means water. That means life. That means an anointing. You haven't even been open 2 months. And today, on behalf of Transformation Church, AJ, Joe, the whole hair family, we wanted to do something special for you, but really for the community. It's coming through you. There are people, boys and girls in North Tulsa, that all they eat is cupcakes and honey buns and ramen noodles, and the devil is a lie. That if we see a 20-year life expectancy change within 10 miles. Most of that is because of food. So what we want to do for Northside Community on behalf of Transformation Church and Transformation Nation is at Oasis Grocery Store, there'll be two different weekends. We are handing out, no strings attached, free of charge, $1,100 gift cards to be able to go in there and buy fresh groceries. Oasis, this is $100,000. This is $100,000. That's a new black business and the community being reached. It's reparations. You don't gotta do it, but the church will.
we give God some praise right now? But we not done yet. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, but we not done yet. I told the team, I said, find me every living survivor that survived this massacre. And they begin to search. And I said, the most devastating thing that was stolen from people were their homes. And I said, how in the world do you rebuild when you go to sleep on a Thursday and on the Friday, all your memories, all your life savings, everything that you built your life for is in rubble in front of you. And you got to go to the fairgrounds and stay on cots and try to rebuild your life from ashes. I read in the Bible where it said, God is the only one that gives beauty from ashes. And today, I don't care who you are and where you're at, if you're watching online, y'all, we have two of the three living survivors of the Tulsa Race Massacre. We have all three. They all came. We have all three. Can we give God some praise? Y'all better help me. Y'all can do better than that. These people survived devastation and are here to tell about it. Thank you, sir. Just bring them right here. Right here. How you doing, ma'am? You okay? She got that coach purse. You looking good. I see you out here. I feel the presence of God right now. Mr. Hughes Van Ellis, 100 years old. No. I'm going to try that again. That man is 100 years old. Mr. Hughes Van Ellis, 100 years old. Miss Viola Floyd Fretcher, 107 years old. Miss Leslie Randall, 106 years old. I want to get in a humble position. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for living a life. Thank you for living a life that survived the devastation. Thank you for appearing before Congress. Thank you for standing up. Thank you for being here today. Because of you, this is able to happen. I'm a young black man who took over a church from a white man who built it in North Tulsa. That couldn't have happened if y'all didn't survive. And today, we can't restore everything that has been stolen from you. But today we can put a seed in the ground. And the one thing we know about a seed is when you put a seed in the ground and it looks broken and it looks destroyed, that is the environment that growth happens. And in front of this entire crowd, in front of the whole world, I said, what could we give them? And I looked up, what is the median price of a house in Tulsa, Oklahoma? And $200,000 was the number that came up. So today, on behalf of Transformation Church, God, and Transformation Nation, each one of you is getting a check for $200,000. I dare you to give God praise. It's reparation season. And the church, change starts in the church. Can we give God praise for these amazing people? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Who is this to you? This is your grandmother? So this your grandmother? So what was taken from her was taken from you. Yeah, this ain't on the schedule, but she's gonna get $200,000, but she's gonna get $100,000 as well. It's reparation season. And everything that the enemy stole, he's gotta give it back. You see what happens? That's a praise that erupts. And if you were smart, you would begin to praise God too. Because it may not be a massacre what devastated you, but God said it's reparation season. I'm restoring, I'm rebuilding, I'm getting. Change starts in the church. Change starts in the church. Today, in the matter of 10 minutes, we just as a church, the church, the capital C church, shout out to Friendship and shout out to Church on the Move and shout out to every person that's out here. I hope this generosity is contagious. Because what was stolen from them and what has been stolen from you, you don't have to sit in that devastation. God's saying, don't put a period where he put a comma. The story is still being written. And in the 100-year of this crazy massacre, on behalf of Transformation Church, our generosity in 10 minutes was $1 million given away. No, y'all didn't hear me. Thank you, Transformation Church. $1 million. And this is not a fake million. This is not a promise. The checks are in the back. You're walking away with this today. That's today. That's how quick God can change your situation. That's how fast he can turn around. Somebody better shout right now. You came in one way, but you're leaving a completely different way. This is a season of restoration. Somebody shout at me, restoration. From the front to the back, somebody shout restoration. One more time with all the faith you got, shout restoration. Change starts. Somebody say in the church, not the organization, but the organism. Somebody say change starts in me. You can be reparations for somebody tomorrow. They were torn down relationally, and God says, go back in there and rebuild them. They had a coworker or a partner leave them and take everything. Go in there and serve for free. Reparation. God says, I'm about to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Let me just say it like this. God, bring this out for me. God brings restoration from devastation. Every single time. The hands of the people online and out here today that said there's an area of your life that you've been devastated. Would you lift your hand in the air just right now, currently? And if you can, just lift both hands. God told me the way we're ending this service, because he's a God that brings restoration from devastation, is to read Isaiah 61 over you. He said, receive the restoration that only comes from God. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim this good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim that the year of the Lord's favor And the day of vengeance of our God is here to comfort all who mourn and provide all those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild. They will rebuild. They will rebuild. Say it with me. They will rebuild. One more time. They will rebuild. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They that they have devastated for generations, strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Somebody needs to receive this right now. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Lift your hands and get ready for this. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will receive and rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land. An everlasting joy will be yours. I said an everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. And my faithfulness, I will reward my people. God will reward his people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants, somebody lift your hands because this is for you, will be known among the nations and their offspring among the people. All who see us will acknowledge that they are the people of the Lord and they are blessed. If you receive it, give God. I said if you receive it, give God a shout of praise. Everybody's gonna call us blessed. And if change starts in the church, what we need to ask God is to build his church. Somebody say, build your church.
Build your church.
Hey.
Build your church. Build it from the ground up. It's your church.
Let's go.
Build your church. Build your church.
Come on, we're singing this
build
as an anthem.
Build your
say,
church.
Build your.
Build your church.
I'm the church.
Build your church. Build it from the ground up. It's your
something's
church.
Happening.
Build your church. Build your church. Build it from the ground.
Build it, God.
Build your church. Build your church. Build it from the ground up. We're your church.
See, I still think you think we're talking about an organization. When we say build your church, somebody say, build me, God. Yeah, build my character. Build my attitude. Build my ability to hear you. Today by faith. With thousands out here and thousands online, we're gonna declare that in crazy faith. And I believe it's a sign that what's about to happen is about to transform Tulsa, transform Oklahoma, transform America, but it starts from the ground up. And God building us anew and afresh through his son, Jesus Christ. So lift your hands, put your head back and say, build your church.
Build your church, build your church, build it from the ground up, it's your church, build your church, build your church, build it from the ground
up. Come on, lift your voice.
Build your church, build your church, build your church, build it from
build
the ground
up. Build us up, God. Everything that's broken, God.
Build your church, build your church, build it from the ground up.
Somebody give God a shout of praise all over this place.
Build your church. Build your church. Build it from the ground.
I need to hear you say it. Say, build your
church. Build your church. Build your church. Build it from the ground up.
Come on, lift it up.
Build your church. Build your church. Build it from the ground up.
What if in the next decade there was a church that rose from the ashes that wasn't under one banner but was a group of believers in a city that said, you know what? What was torn down 100 years ago will be rebuilt by the church. And we brought our faith, our resources, our abilities, our connections, our relationships. Some of y'all won't believe it until we do it. And you can stand there and clap, or you can be a part of it. But I'm telling you, there's a church rising up that doesn't need a handout. There's a church that's rising up that will be the answer to the problem. And somebody declare, we're that church. I said declare, we're that
church.
Somebody say, we're that church. Just one more time. Everybody say,
build your church. Build your church. Build your church. Build it from the ground up. It's your church. Build your church. Build your church. Build it from the ground up.
We're that church.
Build your church. Build your church.
Transformation Church, I love you. And I want to say something. Whatever you're going on, whatever's going on in your life, we serve the God, Adrian, that can take us from devastation to restoration. I don't care how bad it looks right now. I don't care if it's even been in ruins for 100 years. I don't care if the marriage has the divorce paper signed. I don't care if they denied you for the loan 10 times. We serve the God that can take you from devastation to restoration. Somebody say it as a prophetic sign. From devastation to restoration. Come on, some of y'all gonna be in your car this week and you say, no. This is not how the situation ends. God's gonna take it from devastation to restoration. Come on, in your house, in the tent. We serve a God that takes it from devastation to restoration. And the first way God does that, it's through salvation. See, because the thing you don't know is you're lost and dead in your sin. Who I am without God is nasty, horrible, unbelievable. But God made a plan when Adam and Eve devastated it. He put a comma there. And he said, no. There's no period. The enemy thought he won, but I'm going to send Jesus. And when he sent Jesus, this is the moment, the place, and the space that found me. I was a liar. I was a manipulator. I was addicted to pornography. Pastor, you going to say that out in front of everybody? I don't care, because you weren't there when God snatched me out of all my stuff. You have no idea how dark my thoughts were. Yesterday, I celebrated 11 years of marriage. If you knew the testimony. But we serve a God that takes you from devastation to restoration. And if you're online, watching on rebroadcast, out here today, and you need to make the greatest decision of your life, like I did. Give your life to Jesus. Well, I'm an atheist, and I live an alternate lifestyle, and I identify as gay, and I don't care about none of that. You are precious to God. He cares about you, and he calls you his child. Today, in front of an open heaven and watching online, if you want to make the greatest decision of your life and give your life to Jesus Christ, on the count of three, I just want you to shoot your hand up in the air. And this is not about your friends. This is not about who you came with. You will not stand with a group of people before God. You will stand by yourself, not even with your family or your puppy. It will be you and God. And he say, did you make a decision by faith to make me the Lord of your life? And I would hate for anybody to leave, no matter if you're a vendor, security, or you're just somebody who came to watch. Today is the day of salvation. On the count of three, at home and here in the field, I want you to just lift your hands. One, this is the greatest decision you could ever make. If you know how to pray, I need y'all to pray. People's lives are in the balance right now. Two, I'm so proud of you. But more than that, your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Three, shoot your hand up here in the building or online. Tons of hands. Glory to God. So proud of you. So proud of you. Can I tell you what God is about to do? You can put your hand down. He's going to do this. He's going to build your life. Build your life. Build it from the ground up. It's his life. He'll build your life. He'll build your life. Where? He'll build it from. It's his life. That's what you're doing. He'll build your life. Hey! Build your life. No matter where it is. Now it's. Hey! That's what he's gonna do for you. Hands lifted all over the place. For everybody online and everybody here, I'm so proud of you. At Transformation Church, nobody prays alone. We're a family. So we're gonna all pray this prayer of salvation for the benefit of those who are coming to Christ right now. Just repeat after me. Say, God, thank you that my life does not end in devastation. Thank you for sending Jesus. And today, I believe that he lived, he died, and he rose again with all power for my restoration. God, change me. Renew me. Transform me. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Can somebody, y'all better erupt in this place. Heaven is rejoicing because the church is being built. Come on, let's give it praise. Give God praise.
Thank you, Lord. Listen, if you just made the decision to accept Jesus, that is the best decision you could ever make. We are so proud of you, so grateful for you. As a church, we'd love to support you. If you get out your phone, if you text the word saved to the number 828282, save that number in your phone. We'll just send you resources. We're not going to hound you, but we just want to encourage you in person and online. We would love to be a resource for you. And we're so glad that you came out for Capital C Sunday today. Hey, listen, this is what it's about. It's about representing and putting Christ in the middle of culture. So no matter where you go from this place, take this same energy, take the Spirit of God with you, and it's going to be a powerful thing. Again, we want to wish a happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Hey, listen, we have a Country Q barbecue. We have it for you if you head that way. We bought out the rest of their inventory, so if you're a dad, go over and stop there on your way out. Again, thank you so much for showing up today and representing with us. And we love you so much. Join us back next week. We're back online. And go out and live a transformed life. We love you guys. We'll see you.